and welcome back to another episode of the Move to Heal podcast. My name is Allie Hirschman.
I'm Colleen Delaney.
And I'm Ethan Hirschman.
And we are so excited to be joined today with Ray from CrossFit 401, which was one of our first Move to Heal locations and our first one in Rhode Island. And they are currently serving over 100 Move to Heal members a week at their gym. Their gym is so incredibly successful with this Move to Heal program. And super excited to hear from you, Ray, a little bit about your story and your involvement with the Move to Heal program and community. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, welcome, Ray.
Welcome, Ray.
Pleasure.
So Ray, I'm so glad to have you here today. And one of the sort of magical things about your gym and your location is the number of people that show up there. You know, all of our other locations, we always considered successful when once we got to 10 or 15, even 20 people coming to a meeting. And it seemed like pretty early on at 401, these meetings started getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and all the way to the point where you guys had to add another day. So, you know, there's some magic that's taking place there. And really, you know, just to kick this off, tell us a little bit about, first of all, you know, what you first thought when we introduced the Move to Heal program there and what you're thinking of what it was going to be like. And then secondly, what has created this, you know, fury of population that's showing up there every Wednesday and Saturday and the community that's being built and all that. So just give us your thoughts on that if you could.
Yeah. Well, I think I'll answer those. And I, you know, I listened to Joe's podcast last week and was thinking, you know, what kind of information are you going to want from me? And I think understanding a very summarized chronological kind of story of my life, Joe had a very definitive story that led to his sobriety. And then, you know, this program came along, but kind of understanding my whole story very briefly. And then you can ask, you know, more about any particular topic I touch upon will help paint the picture that I think might answer the questions you're looking for. So Growing up, I kind of have this like expression. I say, I always did the right thing, right? I always did the right thing, but then I always did some of the wrong stuff too. And I've struggled at various points in my life and growing up, you know, behavioral issues into high school. You know, it was an honor roll high school kid, captain of my high school football team, and, you know, had gotten into some trouble along that route. Went to college, was in the Rhode Island Air National Guard, and was, you know, a college athlete on a really, really, really successful rugby team, and got myself into some trouble in college. And, you know, into my adulthood, you know, the common thing that has always been in my life has been fitness, wellness, and sports. And throughout bad times, you know, holding myself accountable with some fitness has been, even in the darkest moments, the thing that's kept me on track. So when I got to the professional fitness business and I started doing it as a professional, I would always encourage and support any organizations that could bring people that fitness could be used as a tool to help them. So we had a couple of different organizations over the years say, hey, can we bring a group of people to come work out? And I'd always say yes, like the Phoenix House, a couple of different representatives from the Phoenix House did that. There was a high school that had some behavioral, you know, kids with behavioral issues would come by and I'm like, yeah, you know, if fitness helped me guide me in my life, if you and your program can come, and I would never charge. So it was kind of like my idea of paying it forward, of giving it back. So I'm like, hey, come in at 9 p.m., 8 p.m., whenever it is you guys can get here and we're done with our business hours. You guys can have the room, do what you want to do, just sign waivers and hopefully fitness can help you. And then about 2 years ago, we were approached by a friend that this program was existing and I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what Move to Heal was. Okay, it's people in, you know, not necessarily just recovery, but people who are just going through it in life, you know, emotional trauma, stress, life trauma, whatever it may be, mental illness, depression, anxiety, and obviously addiction. And they do a workout and a meeting. And I thought that was cool. all the programs that had come by before were just doing, you know, workouts. So I thought that was cool. And I didn't think anything about the business sense. I had no idea that there was a potential to actually be reimbursed for this. I thought it was going to be another good deed of me paying it forward and letting people work out to help them. And then we went and we met Ethan and Colleen, as well as some other people. We had lunch and we got to talking. And even going into that lunch, I still didn't know that that Move to Heal organization would end up compensating for gym membership or provide other services like nutrition and counseling. So going into that lunch, I was just thinking, hey, this is another good deed. The answer is yes. Whatever you're coming at me with, the answer is yes, bring your people by. And then I realized it wasn't Move to Heal was going to be bringing people by. It was we were going to build a program to help people, and Move to Heal was going to help reimburse for some of those services and help provide other services. And I'm like, that's too good to be true. Like, what's the catch? And it wasn't really a catch. The catch is it takes a lot of work. It takes whether you call it management, administration, in our particular case, owners, that are bought in. And I think the real magic of what we've got going on at 401 is for almost all the meetings, you'll either get Jen, myself, or the both of us. So you have two owners of the gym, and we're at almost every meeting. And we have a third person, Joe Birchfield, obviously he was on your podcast last week, who is very, very, very active in the recovery, what would be the word for it? I don't want to say field, in the recovery community. And the people who are in recovery in the state of Rhode Island. He is a very influential, very motivating, very well-known guy. So between the owners being totally bought in and between having a guy like Joe, it was really a perfect little like melting pot, because Jen's extremely organized. So Jen doing a lot of the logistics, being in contact with you guys all the time, and then me doing more of the fitness thing, and then Joe being somebody that the people who are in recovery can really lean on, that created a really good team. And then from there, I think to call a spade a spade, so I'm not a gym owner that goes in and sits quietly. I've opened up in the group more than I've ever talked about some of the things that have gone on in my life. Some things I haven't even talked about since, you know, they were put in the closet and we don't talk about them anymore. And this is what I've told people is the realest room I've ever been in. Everybody takes off the mask. And I think what a lot of people don't realize is how many people in society are wearing a mask and are very eager to get it off. And seeing somebody like me, I'm a leader in this community. I'm a leader in fitness, in this area. To see me take the mask off and divulge parts of myself, parts of, you know, my vulnerability, it gives other people the sense that it is okay to do that. And Jen's the exact same way. Joe's the exact same way. And again, just being real in that room with the team of people we have, with the owners being bought in, I think those are all the variables that make it successful. So again, that's the summary, but feel free to ask obviously more detail into any of that.
Well, I have a question right away.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of the people that show up to Move to Heal out of desperation, right?
Yep.
And you know, they're just really hurting. The pain is their motivator. And you know, speaking from your perspective, because you spent a lot of time in the meetings now, and it was more to host the meetings initially, right? And now you're and you're saying you take the mask off and you're making yourself vulnerable. What benefits for you has Move to Heal given? Have you gotten from Move to Heal in these meetings?
Yeah. So in my mind, right, I didn't need any help, because I have gone through some, I've made it over some mountains and some hurdles in my life, messes that I've created, but I've put my head down and I've worked through them. And I've coped and all that. But no matter how smart you ever think you are, there is always more you can learn. And I'll allude to the group sometimes or kind of give a little perspective so people just understand how powerful the group is. And I'm like, okay, raise your hand if you have gotten therapy from a licensed therapist before. And obviously everybody's hand in the room will go up. And I'm like, okay, raise your hand if you've been with two or more professionals. And most of the people in the room will raise their hands. And I'm like, okay, we're in a room of 70 people right now. You've got a combined 140 professionals that have given you coping mechanisms. So the amount of knowledge in the melting pot in that room and people start to share is relatable for everybody, no matter what their problems may be. And a lot of people might think, well, I'm not an addict, so how is this going to relate to me? Well, I don't have PTSD, so how is this going to relate to me? Well, there are people there for such a widespread reasons, for so many widespread reasons, that once people start sharing, and, you know, here's just a mom who's freaking out about you know, her reservations and her insecurities about being a parent, and she doesn't even realize that she's relating to somebody else. Here's another person who's a cop. Here's another person who's just a stressed out college kid who's, you know, on, you know, suicidal. And these people start to talk, and you wouldn't know it in public. You know, you see these people, that a lot of them, you know, people who've already been members and came to class, and it takes them a little while to open up, and then they go to share, and you're like, oh, I call it, like, you know, you don't know what's one layer back is the onion. You peel the onion one layer back, and it's a totally different thing. You peel it back, it's a totally different thing. So these people start to share, and they give their coping mechanisms, and, you know, here, and just the amount of awesome little one-liners that get said by people who were figuring out how to get through life. So a mom might say just how she got through her mental breakdown, or this college kid might talk about why he didn't kill himself, and his coping mechanisms that his therapist or her therapist gave them, they now bring to a room. And Joe's got this expression, you know, they're tools in your tool belt, right? Every time you get a coping mechanism, you get something to work with. It's a little tool you put in your tool belt. So getting through life requires tools. And hey, you know, I got this hurdle in front of me. How am I going to get through it? Well, how many tools you got in your box? You know, how many tools you got on your belt? So pull that one out. Nope, that coping mechanism didn't work. Well, I know another one. So every time I go there, I leave with a little bit of perspective from somebody who shared, and I'm like, oh, that was a good fucking point. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And that has kept me coming back.
Yeah. When you have your clients in the meetings and they're opening up about things that you had no idea they were struggling with, how has that deepened the connection with your clients, and how has this, like, strengthened the community within your gym, bringing Move to Heal in?
Well, the meetings are anonymous, and at the end of the meeting, there's a phrase, you know, it's you know, what you would take, what you like, leave what you didn't, and what happened, what's said in the meeting stays in the meeting. And okay, I'll give you an example. So this woman who's been at the gym for a very long time, and I coached her on a given night, might have been a Monday or something like that, and our meeting was Wednesday, just a couple days later, and she had never been to the meeting. It was her first time, and she goes to share, and she talks about how her parents have struggled with addiction, and her dad relapsed and fell and hit his head and passed away, and she was supposed to be getting married the following week, so she had to put her wedding on hold and plan her father's funeral. But her mom was so now in such a rough spot. Her mom had relapsed as well and wasn't able to handle it. And I'm sitting there just saying to myself, holy shit. I just coached you 2 days ago in class, and not, you know, and again, you never know what somebody's got going on one layer back. So when people share at Move to Heal, what I don't do is bring it up to them in class, because I don't want a third party to know what gets discussed in Move to Heal. And I know that they're coming to the gym to escape. They're coming to the gym to forget about that. And that's another thing I'll kind of joke around about when I'm talking about, you know, the power of fitness and getting through things. Like, I'll be like, all right, raise your hand if you've got a, you know, a monkey on your back, a gorilla on your back that's just like nagging at you. Raise your hand if you've got something that's killing you right now. And obviously it's a Move to Heal meeting, so every single person puts their hand up. And I go, all right, everybody's got their hand. Okay, put it down. Okay, raise your hand if you thought about that when I was making you do burpees. And nobody puts their hand up. I'm like, it's amazing. I was making you do burpees, and all of a sudden you forget about your problems for a minute. So I know that people come to the gym to get away from a bit of that. So the last thing I'm going to do is walk up to somebody at class and bring up what they shared. But there is a way you look at each other, and it's like, I see you, bro. Like, or yeah, it might just be something like, how you doing? You good? It's like, we're good. Mm-hmm. And it's like, they know what I'm asking. I know what they are, but like, we don't rehash it there, but there is definitely a deeper, a deeper understanding, a deeper connection for people that open up, and then you see after the fact for sure.
And that feeling of feeling seen without even having to say anything at all, I think is so powerful. And, you know, you guys really have, we talk about this all the time. You guys have something so special at CrossFit 401. And what about the physical aspect of it? I'm sure people come who maybe haven't worked out in a while or maybe never worked out. What's that like to kind of see the progress of people who maybe just start with the Move to Heal workouts and then have now gone and been able to go and complete a CrossFit workout?
Yeah. So it's definitely tough on, especially on Wednesdays. Saturday doesn't have as many people that, how do I put this? On Wednesday, there are people that they might even be like a transient person coming through the state of Rhode Island, and they just hear about a program because we have like flyers up in some of the sober houses or some of the meetings. So there's a lot of exposure that we have. So there'll be people that come, and I never know who's going to come walking in the door. There's a couple of different buses or vans that'll come from a few of the sober houses. And we know just because of the position that some of these people are in life, they're not going to be able to make it back throughout the week. Like they don't drive. Mm-hmm. They're at actual residential care facilities. So mm-hmm. Wednesday is a very, very, very diverse group. Saturday is a little bit more of like regulars. So Saturday there's a slight level up to how advanced the workouts are. Still not advanced. Mm-hmm. Still, you know, inclusive at all levels, infinitely scalable to all levels, but it is a little bit more. On Wednesdays, I basically tell the group, I'm like, I have no idea how many is going to be here. We range like 50 to 70 people, all ages, all levels of ability, people that have never worked out a day in their life, and some higher level athletes. So they're very inclusive workouts, but that doesn't mean easy. My goal is to mm-hmm. safely challenge everybody. So mm-hmm. we usually do AMRAPs, things where we're on the clock. Very rarely, we never do mandated reps. So,
and for someone that's listening, can you describe like what
So if I said, okay, here's the deal, group, we're going to do 5 rounds of 10 burpees and 10 kettlebell swings. That means 50 reps of each. Well, a really high level athlete can do that without stopping and might be done in 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Somebody who's really struggling, maybe had a knee issue, maybe has, you know, a weight issue, or just never worked out before, that might be a really, really, really challenging task. And just mm-hmm. simply getting on the ground and getting back up can be a really challenging task for some people. Yeah. So if I were to say you're going to do these reps, that would be a task priority workout. That all of a sudden you got some people done in 5 minutes. Other people it's like borderline unsafe and might take them 20 minutes. That's mm-hmm. not really fun. Now they're being singled out. So getting people to move at the same time, doing the same thing, the best, safest way to do that is say, okay, you're going to do burpees for 40 seconds. And then we're going to have a 20-second rest. If you can move quick, move quick. If you need to take your time and go to a knee and guide yourself to the ground and then, you know, crawl your way back up, that's perfectly fine. And I'll go over these things, and then Jen will be there. And if somebody's still like really struggling after I've broken it down, she'll go one-on-one with them, and Joe will also do the same thing. So the whole room is doing 40 seconds of burpees. Maybe one person gets 10 done. Maybe one person gets 2 done. But they're still mm-hmm. doing burpees at the same time. Then we get a break, and then 40 seconds of kettlebell swings again. Maybe one person gets 10 done. Maybe one person does 15. Maybe one person does 5. And we'll go through that for 5 rounds. So we'll take the 10 minutes. That way everybody does burpees together. Everybody does kettlebells together in a safe way and gets the workout done in the time it was supposed to be, as opposed to giving them stuff that they have to do, reps that they have to do. And then mm-hmm. people are kind of getting singled out, finishing at different times and being unsafe. So the AMRAP style, as many reps as possible, is what that stands for. And giving time frames, we're going to work for 1 minute. Everybody's going to work for a minute, and then we'll have a break. Do whatever you can do in that minute is a way of getting everybody to participate, get a sweat in, and feel good about it. And then of the people on Wednesday nights, I'll try to encourage getting them to come back, because everybody's like, you get the endorphins flowing, you get the high of working out, especially if you haven't been doing it before. And you get a little sense of motivation. When you leave the gym, it's very unlikely, you know, depending on where you're at in your road to recovery, it's very unlikely you're going to make an unhealthy decision right after you work out. If you, it's very unlikely you're going to go crack a beer, light up a cigarette right after you work out. There's going to be a little bit of residual effects and lasting effects from working out, but they don't last a week. So if you come every Wednesday, the effects aren't going to be there. You got to make it in a few times. And I'll repeat that every couple Wednesdays. I'll repeat that. And that helps get people in. And then another thing we do, first of all, kind of have to do it because of equipment and space, but I'll do partner workouts. And sometimes with the partner workouts, they'll still be time allocated. So even if the last thing you want to do is say, okay, grab somebody the same strength as you. Well, some of these people have never worked out before. Some of these people come there and don't know anybody. So to say, link up with somebody of the same, that's going to single person. Nobody wants to be the last one picked in gym class. So I'll be like, okay, hey, get yourself together in groups of three. And like, I'm pretty like direct with how I talk. So like, if I say get into groups of three, they're not going to question it. They're going to get into groups of the two people closest to them. Mm-hmm. And then come up with workouts where even though it's three totally strangers have never met each other, they'll be able to work out in a way like, okay, all three of you are going to do burpees together. Don't worry if one's moving faster or slower than the other. And you'll work harder with somebody else working next to you who's doing the same thing as you. Or other times it'll be like, all right, one person worked for 30 seconds and then the other person worked for 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then we'll take breaks and they'll be like, hey, during this minute break, I want you to find out if your partners have any pets. And give them a minute to do that and then start another. And all right, hey, in this piece, I want you to find out how many meetings they've been to and what state they're from. Some kind of generally anonymous, but still
that's
like,
great.
And you'll watch within one time of doing that, the next time they're just talking. Like I just told them to find out if they got a dog. And the next time they're talking about what high school they went to. So the people want to talk, and that's the reason you guys do the icebreaker. So giving the partner workout sense to it, all of a sudden the workout ends, they're high-fiving each other. They'll be more apt to come to class if they've got somebody that they know and they've got a buddy.
Mm-hmm. If somebody have that strong Facebook community where you guys will post on that. And I've heard people talk in the meetings about how they have group texts going on and that people will be like, oh, I'm going to this class at this time.
Like holding each other accountable. Welcoming.
The next question I have for you, Ray, is I love asking gym owners this question. What is your favorite Move to Heal success story?
We got a lot. And we got this one guy I've known forever. He's a real tough dude, and he's got PTSD, and he's one of the friendliest, nicest guys ever, but you can tell he's been through it. And and you know, I've known this guy for a real, real long time, and I've known that he's battled with the PTSD. He's pretty public about that. But I know enough about that you don't ask. That's not, you know, you're an ear to those people when they talk. And he's never talked about it in front of me. He just kind of fires off, you know, like some PTSD awareness type things over the years. But he's never talked to me about it. And I certainly don't ask. That's not my job. And I'm there to teach him how to do cleans and presses and jump rope. You know what I mean? He's there to get away from that and put his head outside of it. He knows I care, but I'm not there to talk to him about that. But the first time we went to do Move to Heal, now he's got to be, you know, 15, 20 years after his last deployment. So it's been a while. First Move to Heal almost 2 years ago, he couldn't talk. The moment he went to even start putting words out and his brain was in that moment, just tears and choking and tears. He couldn't get out a sentence. A month or two later, decides to share again. A couple words can start making it out. Month or two later, now he's telling the story. Still crying, but now you fast forward and like he can talk. He has faced the demons. And seeing a guy like that come to grips and get in control of a gorilla that's been on his back for 20 years, that's really cool. He's just gotten used to living with it. And this program, and he's done a ton of different programs. And you know, talking again, you know, some of the little analogies, Joe said, all right, hey, like, you know, you need, the more tools you have in your tool belt, the more equipped you are to fix things when they're broken. And I kind of use this line from a Tupac song. The song Changes. He said, the old way wasn't working, so it's on us to do what we got to do to survive. And I'm like, all right, hey, everybody in this room is here for a reason. You done it. You tried it. You saw that therapist. You went to that meeting. You did this program. It didn't work. You're still fucked up. So here you are. Maybe this will work. And it was really cool to see this guy who's been in so many different programs, tried so many different things, hasn't even been able to talk about it and move the heel for a little bit. There he is. So that's a success story. And then another one, there's a ton of people that have helped with sobriety, anxiety, depression, so many awesome things. But suicide is definitely that's the worst, right? Seeing somebody in the early grave, whether it's like intentional with drugs or alcohol, or it is just, you know, the pills or the knife or the gun or whatever. And there was a woman who was battling with some serious mental illness. She was successful, went to college, had a job, and just couldn't deal with life anymore. Went into gnarly depression, tried to kill herself, wound up, you know, getting some residential help, and that didn't work. She was heavily medicated and was back home, but it was like deteriorating her marriage. She couldn't work. She just wanted to die. And she saw us on the news. She saw the news article of Jen and I talking about Move to Heal last winter. And she's like, all right, hey, like, I've tried this, I've tried that, I've tried this, I've tried that, and none of it's working. So she came to Move to Heal, and she was so scared. She was like trembling, but she got herself to share on her first meeting, and she divulged all of it. She's like, I'm not going to come here and not try. So she divulged all of it. And she was one of those people. I just, like, after the meeting, I was like, look, you can't wait till next Wednesday. You, like, come back tomorrow, come back Thursday, come back Friday. Here's when I coach. Here's when Jen coaches. Like, here are the familiar faces. Just get your ass in the door. All right. If it's the only structure you have in your life, get your ass in this building. And she did. She started coming to class that week. This woman who was like literally tried to kill herself, out of work, wouldn't leave the house, came to her first Move to Heal meeting, started coming to them. Within like a month or so, she told us that she had no more suicidal thoughts. She was happy. Her marriage was improving. Within like 2 or 3 months of that, she got a job. First time she had a job in a while.
Wow. And that's amazing.
And she's still alive and well, and she's still coming to the meeting. She had a couple medical procedures that needed to be done that kept her out of the gym for a little bit, but we've been in contact and we saw her. And seeing the familiar faces, seeing the repeats, like, you know, you see people come in and get a hug from Jen or I. You see people come in and start making small talk with each other. As a new person, you see that and you're like, okay, this is something special going on here beyond an anonymous meeting where you come, you sit, you leave. There is something special that's going on. And that to think that lady, it's fair to say she might not have been here if it wasn't for Move to Heal. Like a definitive, not addict who might have OD'd, not alcoholic who might have drank themselves. Like this lady might not be here if it wasn't for Move to Heal. To say that, I think, is the most powerful we've got.
Wow.
That's incredible. Really, really amazing. I was just in awe of that story. That's such a great story to hear. And what's running through my head is this, you know, all of our partners at all the gyms, you know, have to take action and take part and do their part to make this work. It's kind of like we have some of the ingredients to make this happen and to create this environment that really literally saves lives. And you just put a story to that. But if it's not for people like you and Jen, it's just a folder on the floor that we gave you. Here's how you do it, you know. But you guys take that playbook, so to speak, and make it into something real and build the Move to Heal community with that. And you know, my heart just is exploding right now with light and love for what's going on and what you guys have been able to do. And you know, when I asked you at the beginning, you know, what makes it special up there, you know, you've done such a great job in just telling the story with your different stories, mm-hmm. of yourself and and these other people and how the meetings are and the workouts and you know, being safe and all that stuff combined is are your ingredients to make this beautiful product that people can come through that door and not have to die, you know, from what they're struggling with, and then make like the absolute best versions of themselves, not only physically now, but also emotionally and mentally. And, you know, I just gotta give you a little praise there, bro. Cause
you laid it out for me to play it out. And I'll be honest with you. If we didn't go down and check out that first meeting, I don't think I would have gotten a sense for how powerful it is. But because again, like, you know, there would be people from different organizations that have brought groups of people and they do a little workout and they didn't last. And it wasn't that I was skeptical of Move to Heal. I didn't know anything about Move to Heal, but going and seeing the meeting and then hearing or going and doing the workout and then sitting in a meeting. So for anybody listening in, before we actually ran it, as we started to kind of onboard and say, let's go with this. Jen and I went down to Connecticut and we sat in and participated in a Move to Heal workout and meeting. And Ethan was there, Colleen was there, and did the workout, participated in the workout, and it was all levels. There was like a youth group from like a residential facility that came in on a bus. So there were some teenagers there, there were some adults there. Same walks of life you're going to see in all these kinds of meetings. And we did rowing, dumbbell snatches, running, and wall balls. It was a good little workout that anybody could do. And then we did the meeting, and hearing these people talk and hearing the openness of it, I was like, this is really cool. I think a lot of people are immediately shut off with, well, I'm not an addict, so I'm not going to go to a meeting. Or, you know, they don't trust group therapy. They want their regular therapist. And the really unique thing about Move to Heal is the diversity of the people that go there. Hey, if you have stuff to get off your chest, whatever it may be, if you think something can help you with accountability, like in improving yourself, then this is for you. And I was bought in when I went to that meeting, and then talking to Ethan afterwards, you said to me, you're like, you know, CrossFit makes people the best versions of themselves they can. CrossFit changes people's lives. And I think anybody who really is vested in fitness will agree with that. But you said Move to Heal saves people's lives. And if you had told me that at lunch, I might have thought you were cheesy and I would have been like, oh, okay. But when you actually go and you see in the development of people personally, professionally, getting jobs back, people who are back to work, who couldn't hold jobs, you know, parents who have reconnected with their kids who have reconnected with their families. And you can say like, it's because of this program. It's like, you're right. Like CrossFit changes people's lives. Move to Heal saves people's lives. No doubt about it.
That was so powerful.
Yeah. So powerful. And, you know, I know we're wrapping up here, but we hear so much about your gym and the community. And Ray, obviously after this conversation, it's clear that you have such a great sense of knowing, like, when someone shares in the meeting, that extra, hey, let me run up to them and be like, you know what? This is when I'm going to be coaching. This is when Jen's going to be coaching. Like, come back to one of these, like a familiar face. And just going that extra mile, I think, is so incredible. Mm-hmm. And we thank you guys so much for what you guys do. And it's amazing. And we cannot wait to see where Move to Heal goes from here with you guys.
Yeah, I'm actually going to take this podcast, and when we go to new gyms, say, yeah, watch this
podcast. Do this.
Yeah. Watch this podcast. Do this guy's saying, and you'll be successful. So,
if I could give a couple other like pieces. When it comes to workouts, right, and I say this quite a bit. I'm like, there are only so many ways to reinvent the wheel with what, you know, box jumps or step-ups, kettlebell swings or sumo deadlift high pulls or goblet squats, burpees. I mean, push-ups are hard for a lot of people. I don't even really have people who do push-ups. You know, wall balls to med ball squats to air squats. That's the progression we'll go with. You know, running or walking. There's only so many ways to reinvent that wheel. So it does take the person who's doing the workouts to be invested in them and be passionate about them to keep people having fun with those kinds of workouts. Because if I wrote on the board, if I was like mentally checked out, because, you know, in the realm, in the scope of the kind of things I program, in the scope of the kind of classes in movements I teach, you know, from snatches to muscle ups to walking on your hands, you know, some of the really advanced stuff, and then bring it down to, okay, we're going to do a workout of kettlebell swings, burpees, and sit-ups. Not that that's going to be easy. Simple does not mean easy. You take a world-class athlete, have him do that workout with intensity, it's going to be very challenging. But it's very easy to not be passionate and not be enthusiastic when you deliver that workout as a coach. If I write on the workout, all right, guys, we're doing a 12-minute EMOM, 40 seconds on, 20 seconds off, 3 rounds through of burpees, sit-ups, leg lifts, and med ball squats. 3, 2, 1, go. Nobody's going to care. You have to dress up. You have to deliver it. And it might mean I'm walking around hooting and hollering and turning down music and being a goofball. So I'm telling this to you guys. You have already been there and seen it firsthand. But to anybody like listening in, the coach has to bring personality and be absolutely somebody that the people want to be around, because at the end of the day, the workouts are going to be simple. Yes.
This is why we're so strict with who we partner with, because exactly what you said, it's not just about how well you can teach something, but can you create an environment where the energy is high vibe and fun and a safe space?
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
And the biggest thing is, I mean, I'm a big lead from the front believer. I don't think you need to be that way in a lot of businesses. Nobody knows the owner of the local branch at Bank of America when they go to use that service. Nobody knows. Most patrons of a restaurant don't know the owner. Most don't. I mean, obviously some people do it, but you don't need to be the best leader as a business owner in a lot of different realms. Mm-hmm. When it comes to this business, when it comes to fitness, I am a believer that the owner should coach class, that the owner should take class, that the owner should get in the mix with the members. And that philosophy is just tenfold with Move to Heal. I think when people come to, you know, this gym and they see this 13,000 square foot facility with tons of equipment and tons of people, and they know that the place has obviously got something really cool going on as a gym, and then they see this program and they see not one but both owners are there till 8 o'clock on a Wednesday night, they're like, okay, this must be important for Ray and Jen to care enough to be there. Number one, I'm getting something out of it. I do take something away from the meetings, every single meeting I go to, but that investment from us is seen by the people. If mm-hmm. I looked at it as a cash grab, all right, cool, here's an opportunity for us to make some money, and mm-hmm. we're going to do it, and I'm going to put a coach on it for $25 and Joe will run the meeting and I can just go have my Wednesday night, I promise, even if it was the same workout, it would not be as successful. People like seeing totally Jen and I.
Right. Yeah. You're 100% right. We've seen it.
Yeah.
We've seen it with some of the other locations. Where the enthusiasm and the passion, it's there, but it's not at the level that you guys have.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Ray, thank you so, so much. This was amazing, informative, inspirational, all of the things. If you guys are listening and you are in Rhode Island, specifically the Smithfield, Rhode Island area, CrossFit 401, they hold workouts, and it's a 30-minute workout, which is, you know, includes the warm-up, the cool-down, the workout, starting at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesdays. It's followed by a support meeting, 60-minute support meeting. It's also on Saturdays at 8:30 a.m. Please check them out. Ray, thank you so, so much for joining us today. This was incredible.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right, everybody, thank you for tuning in. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and check us out every Monday. We release new episodes. And also, if you feel inspired, please check out a Move to Heal meeting and workout at a location near you. You can also find us at www.movetohealct.org or email us info@movetohealct.org. Thank you, everybody. My name is Allie Hirschman.
I'm Colleen Delaney.
I'm Ethan Hirschman.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye, Ray.
Thank you.
Bye, Ray. Bye. Bye. Bye.